Hare Krishna. So we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter number 17, text 105 and 106. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the same Absolute Truth, the Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, the astrologer was confused. Herein it is clearly indicated that the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Brahman, is in the ultimate issue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a person is the beginning of all things. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mattah Parataram Nanyat, Mattah Sarvam Pravartate, everything begins from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Living Entity. Therefore, whatever exists, whether matter or spirit, is all but an emanation from the Supreme Person or Supreme Life. The modern scientist's theory that life begins from matter is nonsense. Both matter and life begin from life. Unfortunately, the scientists do not know this scientific fact. They are drifting in the darkness of their so-called knowledge. So, there is a verse before this also. I would like to just read the verse.
Gani dhyane dekhe sarvagya maha jyotirmay anant vaikuntha brahmanda sabara ashray.
Through calculation and meditation, the all-knowing astrologer saw the greatly effulgent body of the Lord, which is the resting place of all the unlimited Vaikuntha planets. Purport. Here we get some information of the Vaikuntha world or spiritual world. Vaikuntha means without anxiety. In the material world, everyone is full of anxiety, but another world where there is no anxiety is described in Bhagavad Gita.
Parastasmatu bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha yaha sa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati.
Yet there is another nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. As there are many planets within the material world, there are many millions of planets called Vaikuntha Lokas in the spiritual world. All these Vaikuntha Lokas or superior planets rest on the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti. The Brahman effulgence emanating from the body of the Supreme Lord creates innumerable planets in both the spiritual and material worlds. Thus, these planets are creations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The astrologer saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the very same personality of Godhead. We can just imagine how learned he was, yet he was traveling door to door just like an ordinary beggar for the highest benefit of human society. Hare Krishna.
Om Adnyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guraha Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Padidanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So I offer my respects unto all the very effulgent devotees of Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's indeed a privilege to have this opportunity to speak. I'm speaking for my own purification, so please bear with me. So we are in this section known as Pastimes of the Lord in His Youth. It's quite wonderful that you people are actually reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In our temple we just do Bhagavatam. It's very wonderful. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita is the, as Prabhupada said, is the postgraduate study. Bhagavad Gita is the undergraduate. Srimad Bhagavatam is the graduate. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study in spiritual science. Because where Srimad Bhagavatam ends, the Chaitanya Charitamrita picks up. The last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is Naam Sankirtan. Naam Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranami Dukkha Shamanastam Namami Harim Param. So that verse where the Srimad Bhagavatam ends, the Chaitanya Charitamrita picks up, because Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adventured in order to propagate the Naam Sankirtan. So therefore, this contains all the essence and confidential topics of devotional service. It's not within the capacity of everyone to appreciate this literature, but a devotee can certainly appreciate this. Wonderful. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked that what is the, you know, some of the congregation devotees were cooking for Srila Prabhupada. They were making different kinds of sweets and preparations. And he was asked that, what is your favorite sweet? Expecting that Prabhupada would say Rasgulla or Gulab Jamun or something like that. And Prabhupada said, the best sweet is Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is the best sweet. Yeah. So, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is divided into three sections. The Adi Leela, the Madhya Leela, and the Anti Leela. And we know that Sri Man Mahaprabhu, he performed his pastimes for 48 years. Out of that 48 years, 24 years he spent in grihastha life till he took sannyas. Then 6 years he spent traveling all over India, Bharatvarsha. And the last 18 years he spent in Jagannath Puri. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he has divided into three sections. The Adi Leela contains all the pastimes of Mahaprabhu till he took sannyas, till the age of 24. Then the Madhya Leela contains the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, which he performed during these 6 years of his travel. And the last 18 years in Jagannath Puri is recorded in the Anti Leela. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in his Amrit Pravaha Bhashya, in his commentary to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he summarizes this chapter as the chapter containing the pastimes of Mahaprabhu from the age of 17 to the age of 24. So like that. So here Mahaprabhu is visited by a very wonderful learned astrologer. So Mahaprabhu invites him in his house, welcomes him, gives him a seat, and as one would in a traditional way receive a guest, Atithi Devo Bhavaha, it is said that a guest is as good as God. So Mahaprabhu, following the etiquettes of Vedic culture, as we know that Mahaprabhu is Apani Achari Prabhu Jibere Shikhai. Being God, he has accepted the position of a devotee, and is playing the role of a human being in order to teach this world how one should behave. So he's receiving this guest Brahmin, who's an astrologer, seats him down and asks him that, who was I in my past life? The typical question, you know, that we asked an astrologer. People may go. We have many astrologers in Bombay. Some devotees came from the UK there to Bombay, and they were saying, is there any astrologer? You know, so there are Garga Samhita, there is this Bhrigu, and you know, where they can actually see your charts and they can predict accurately. I mean, they have to look at your, you have to give your name, and you have to give your father's name and mother's name, and they'll look for that card. They have various cards, huge repositories of data. And if they find your card, if there's a card matching your name, then they can exactly tell you who were you in your past lives, you know, and where will you be in the future life and things like that. So astrology is an amazing science. So astrology is an amazing science, but not all astrologers may be perfect, you see. So that's the problem. Just as Ayurveda, you know, just that day we were discussing about Ayurveda. So Ayurveda is a perfect science, actually. We hear in Ramayana that how there were herbs which could bring a dead man back to life. You know, such medical sciences has not reached that stage. So all that kind of information is there in Ayurveda. So Ayurvedic science is very perfect. However, it is very difficult to find a perfect Ayurvedic doctor. You see, so therefore sometimes it may not work for you. And not only that, you know, because of the progression of Kali Yuga, all the herbs have lost their potency. You see, so therefore it doesn't work so much. Today you have to take a combination of everything. You see. So the question arises that should a devotee actually go to an astrologer? Can a devotee, where we can see Mahaprabhu is actually referring to an astrologer. So sometimes devotees are in a fix. Should we go or should we not go? Some people don't go because they're afraid. You know, if the astrologer says something like, you are an ass in your past life, you know, that's quite humiliating, is it not? People don't want to get bad news. You know, or you'll, you know, become an ass in your next life, who knows? So people are conscious that they're having really sinful life. Like once Srila Prabhupada was asked that, Prabhupada, all these, you know, people in Kali Yuga, they are having such sinful lives, such sinful activities. Do you think according to the law of karma, they will become animals in their next life? Prabhupada said, no. They are animals in this life only. So, you see, so people are aware, and therefore people don't want to take risks and they don't go to the astrologer. That's one reason. But also there's another reason where acharyas explain that jnana karmadi anavritam anukulena krishna anushilanam bhaktiruttamam. You know, there's an injunction that one should not too much depend on these karmic situations. Because ultimately, if we have taken to the shelter of Krishna consciousness, to devotional service, then our lives are actually controlled by Sri Krishna. And he can make all kinds of arrangements and adjustments. You see? No longer are the planets in control of a devotee's life. So therefore, too much depending. Therefore, jnana karma anavritam. So Acharya explains that that jnana and karma is not overpowering your devotional service. That should not be the case. It's not that jnana and karma is not there. Karma, which means that your karmic situation. You should not go to an astrologer. That's not what the Acharyas are saying. But if you overly depend on your karmic situation and you forget that Krishna is in control, he's in charge, he can do anything, then that becomes counterproductive to your practice of devotional service. So, jnana and karma, if it helps in Krishna consciousness, then why not? Like, for example, if you know that it's going to rain, you look at your forecast, yeah? Weather forecast. It may rain at 12 o'clock. So then you'll take your umbrella. It helps, is it not? So similarly, if you know that there's some bad times coming ahead, so you'll be prepared. You'll be prepared. You'll chant more rounds and make you more Krishna conscious. But we should understand that ultimately Krishna is in control. Like, I was in Nasik and one devotee was saying that one Mataji was having severe health issues. She was detected with cancer and things like that. So the son took her to the doctor and got her, he's getting her treated. And he thought, let's go to the astrologer to check out what is the situation. You have very good astrologers in Nasik. So they went and the astrologers looked at the chart and said, this lady has got a very nice karma. In fact, this is a bad phase. She will get over it. She will overcome this situation. She will live a long life because according to her chart, she's got a long life. So the boy said, oh, wow. But maybe this astrologer has made a mistake. Because the situation of this lady was terrible. She was severely suffering. And he did not see a hope for her. So he thought, okay, let's take her to another astrologer. So the other astrologer also saw the chart and said, no, according to her chart, she has got a very long life to live. So don't be in stress. She'll be okay. So it was confirmed that she had a perfect or a long life. But eventually she died. And before dying, it seems that she had a revelation. The Lord spoke to her saying that, you have a long life according to your karma. But it's not going to be a very comfortable journey for you. Therefore, I really wish that you come back home. I don't want you to suffer in this world. Just come. And very soon she died. So therefore, according to your karma, if you have a long life, and if the Lord does not want you to live and continue this existence here, he wants to call you back, he will do that. And if you have a very short life, you're destined to die, but if the Lord feels that why unnecessary, you'll die and then take birth again and the same process again, going to school and all the hardships. Never mind, I'll extend your life a little bit, perform devotional life nicely, and then you'll come back. So if you want to die, if you're frustrated in life, you want to die, we may not die, we may live a long life. That's not in our hands. And at the same time, if we have a long life, still if Krishna doesn't want, then we may die. So that's the position of a devotee, you see. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, playing the part of an ordinary human being, has gone to is referring to this astrologer and asking that what was I in my past life. So this astrologer is looking at the charts and he's chanting his Gopal mantra. He used to chant that mantra to get the shakti to predict. So he started chanting the Gopal mantra and he starts seeing vision. He starts seeing vision of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of Vishnu He sees how Lord Vishnu is the support of all the spiritual and material worlds, and you know, as Vishnu Sahasranam says, Sashanka Chakram Sakirita Kundalam Sapita Vastram Sarasiri Hekshanam Sahara Vakshasthalakaustava Shriyam Namami Vishnum Shirasat Chaturbhujam. So he started seeing the Chaturbhuj form of Lord Narayan, Vishnu. He started seeing Lord Sri Krishna in Vrindavan. He started seeing Sachi Mata as Yashoda. He started seeing Jagannath Mishra as Nandan Baba. He started seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a tiny boy who's running around naked in the courtyard of Nandan Baba. And he's wondering what's happening. And then he sees Varaha lifting the earth on his tusk. And then he sees Narsingadev, and he's seeing all these different incarnations in the persona of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's so confused. And he opens his eyes in astonishment. He can't believe what he's seeing. And he's looking at Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu is so humble. He's like an ordinary human being sitting in an unassuming way, and he's waiting and he's asking astrologers, "So, what did you see? Please tell me. Who am I in my past life?" So that astrologer just could not make the connection. He just could not come to the conclusion that Srimad Mahaprabhu is the self-same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So then he tells Mahaprabhu, there's something wrong, I'm not able to concentrate properly, I'm not able to chant the mantra properly, so you go, I'll go now, I'll chant my mantras properly, I'll meditate and I'll come back and then I will again tell you. Okay? So that is the episode which took place here in this pastime, which is being discussed here. So what can we learn from this pastime? So, you know, there are people in this world who are having different conceptions of God. There are atheists who don't believe that there is God. Then there are those who believe that we are all gods. Then there are those who actually believe the bona fide incarnations of God, like Krishna, Ram, to be just an ordinary human being. Then there are those, especially in India, you know, it's a land of many gods. Srila Prabhupada used to say, India is like a conveyor belt of gods. You know, every month there is somebody who's proclaiming that they are gods. Truly. And Indians love many gods. They love the variety, you see. That's why if you go to any home of any Hindu, if you look into their altar, you'll find that there are a variety of gods. Durga, Chandi, Hanuman, Ram, and Krishna, Vishnu, and all different varieties. Many times, if you see the Kuladevi, Kuladevata, and oh my God. And the altar is so small, yeah? And everybody is being crowded inside that place. And if you go to any temple in India, like I take some of the boys to South India tour, such huge temples. You go to Srirangam. It's one of the largest functioning Hindu temple in the world. Srirangam. And there's only one God inside. Vishnu. Such a huge temple, there's only one God. You go to Kanchipuram. Oh my Lord, it's a huge mammoth. And you see the deity, one deity, Lord Vishnu, Vardaraj. You go to, you know, Rameshwaram. Okay, you find one temple. Okay, what's the God there inside? Lord Shiva. One God, that's it. But the irony is, if you go to any Hindu's house, you'll find a small temple and all the gods. So many varieties. It's quite surprising, you know. I mean, it's so difficult to take care of one Lord, is it not? I mean, there's Krishna and there's Radha and there is Ram, Lakshman, Sita, and just see the pujaris are so busy, you know, making all the arrangements for the clothing and the offerings and everything. Many times it's astonishing to see how these people are managing to take care of all these deities in that small crowded place. When they make an offering, there probably is a fight between the gods. You know, whom has he offered it to? Has he offered it to me or you? No, it's my offering. It's not meant for you. You know, there may be a fight between the gods. You know, whom has he offered it to? So many varieties. So many varieties. That's India, you see. So many people, especially many Hindus, are also confused that who's God? Who's that one God? Therefore, it is said, actually, Hinduism is not a religion of many gods. It's actually a religion of just one God. Eko, what is that verse? You know, Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam. Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva. Eko Mantrastasya Namaniyani Karmyapekam Tasya Devasya Seva. If anybody is confused that how many gods are there, who is the supreme god in Hindu pantheon, then this verse says, Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam. That there is only one scripture in the Vedic tradition. And what is that? Devaki Putra Gitam. One Bhagavad Gita. That's it. There's only one scripture. Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva. There is only one God. Who is that? Shri Krishna. Devaki Putra Eva, the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Eko Mantrastasya Namani Yani. There are so many mantras. Om Namo Narayanaya, Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. So many. Om Namo Narayana. You know, Hare, some people chant, what is that? You know, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, 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 Radhe Radhe, Radhe Krishna, you know, like that. So many such mantras. So there's only one mantra actually. What is that? Eko Mantras Tasya Namani Yani. That the supreme names of Shri Krishna. Karmya Pekam Tasya Devasya Seva. And there is only one work, one duty, one profession. And what is that? The service to the Supreme Personality of God, Shri Krishna. Tasya Namani. Karmyapekam Tasya Devasya Seva. So like that. So there are so many people having so many conceptions. There are scientists. Darwin, he's from the UK, yeah? He propagated that there is, man has evolved from apes. There is no God. Atheists, they say that there is no God. Science cannot prove God's existence, so there is no God. You know, there was this one photograph, one picture people uploaded on a Facebook page, profile. A wonderful, very astonishing, striking photograph of an astronaut in space. Beautiful background of the Earth on the backdrop. And he's doing a spacewalk. And he's outside the space shuttle. And he's holding a plaque. He's holding a board. In space, yeah? Saying that, I don't see God out here. I don't see God out here in space. Can you imagine? He went all the way up there and this is what... So that was pretty catchy, you know, and that's what people see. You know, okay, I don't see God up here. So somebody, some devotee, I think, posted a comment on that. Just wait till your oxygen runs out. Wait till the oxygen runs out, you know, and you will see him, don't worry. Yeah. So all these different conceptions that, you know, oh, you can't prove God and therefore God doesn't exist. Come on. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, you cannot even prove all these scientific theories that you are presenting. Big Bang theory, Darwin's evolution theory. Big Bang, I mean, there was an explosion and there was this creation. How ridiculous these theories are. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you put a bomb in any building, these terrorists, you see, I mean, they're putting so many bombs in so many buildings, blew up the whole place, and what do you find at the end of it? It's all destruction. Where did you find some new buildings being constructed? Just by an explosion. An explosion brings about destruction, does not bring about construction. But how gullible people are, that people are actually believing this theory that there was an explosion and the creation came about. How illogical. Nobody has proven it. Nobody can prove it. And still people are so gullible. They are accepting these theories. And then there are others who say, like Darwin says, man has come from monkeys. Prabhupada said, maybe he has come from monkeys. We have not come from monkeys. We have come from rishis. Yeah. He must have. Who knows? So all these things, you know, we came from apes. And so, and then there are others who say that we are all gods. Like, this is popular in India, if you come to India, you know, the Mayavad philosophy. Now, you will not appreciate this point till you have met a Mayavadi who actually speaks like that and spurns your ego, you know. Now, I met one person when I was in Bareilly, Uttar Pradesh. I met one. My mother was posted there, so I went to visit her. And a neighbor came over, looked at me and said, Oh, you are Hare Krishna, you are a spiritualist. Come, even my brother is a spiritualist. He takes great interest in spiritual subjects. Why don't you come and have a discussion with him? So me and my mom went there and we sat, and his brother was sitting there on the sofa looking at me. And he was a Mayavadi, follower of Shankaracharya. Of course, he was in civil clothes. And he looked at me and he says, why do you go to the temple? So I said, what's wrong in going to the temple? He said, you know, God is everywhere. Just you have to meditate and you will realize that you are gods. We are all gods actually. You just have to meditate to realize that. And when you realize that, there is no need to go to any temple. So such kind of people. And I was shocked, and he was really good and in the arguments, and we had a huge discussion and things like that. Like even in our temple, it seems that there was one guy who came and he was taking darshan of the Lord, Radha Gopinath, with great devotion. I think some devotee went to him and, seeing his fervor, asked him that, sir, how do you find the darshan? Enjoying? Do you like the temple? So he said, how wonderful. You know, how wonderful it is to see that you are worshipping me so beautifully. Devotee was shocked. He said, excuse me? He said, how wonderful it is to see that you're worshipping me so beautifully. Devotee was flustered and he said, what? He said, sir, how can you say you're God? And you know all that argument. Sir, you're having so many problems in your life. How can you be God? And he says, no. And then the discussion went on and it was thorough discussion. And he was not accepting. And the devotee is saying, no, you cannot be God. You know, only Krishna is God. And back and forth. Went down for an hour or something like that. And after some time, he said, okay. You know, I just want to use your washroom. Please tell me where it is. So the devotee said, well, you can't even control the call of nature. How can you say that you're God? And if you are God, you're all knowing, is it not? So you find out where the washroom is. I'm not going to tell you. So now the devotee says, anyway, and then the discussion goes on, and another, after 15, 20 minutes, again he says, hey, you know what, I really want to use the washroom, please tell me. So he says, okay, first you accept that you're not God, then I will tell you where it is. I said, okay, all right, I am not God, okay, where is it? So he accepts. And then the devotee says, okay, that way. And then he goes, does his business, comes back. And again he comes to argue. So the devotee says, so you finally you accepted that you are not God, yeah? Who said? No, I am God. So what? You just now, just a few minutes back, you said you are not God. He said, that was my pastimes. It's just my pastime. That's all. How can you convince? You see, you know, how can you convince such a person? So there are different kinds of people having different kinds of thoughts. And then there are others who think that Krishna is a human being. Krishna being God, they think that he's just a human being, ordinary human being just like you and me. He took birth just like you and me, so he's ordinary. Krishna says that when I appear, people think that I'm just as an ordinary human being. That's fallacy. Like one devotee was saying, when he went to Prabhas Tirtha, the Somnath, if you go there, Dwarka, that is the place from where Lord Shri Krishna disappeared. That was a place where there was a fratricidal wall amongst the family members of Krishna, the Yadu dynasty, and Shri Krishna and Balaram also disappeared from there. So in the exact spot where Shri Krishna's foot was pierced by the arrow of the hunter, there is a temple. And it seems in that spot there was a board put up many years ago. And Srinadji Prabhu had said that it seems that there was a board put up saying that this is the place where Shri Krishna died. This is the place where Shri Krishna died. So how astonishing that in the place, the holy place, Tirtha of Somnath, Prabhas Tirtha, people could put such a ridiculous board. How can God die? Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. Krishna says that I do not die. My birth and my disappearance is transcendental. It's not like you and me. We are forced to take birth by our karma. But Krishna makes his choice. We had no choice. We did not choose. We could not choose. We did not. We were not given a questionnaire saying that what kind of father would you like? Where would you like to settle? In the UK? In India? In Russia? In America? We were not given a questionnaire. We don't remember. Nothing like that happened. But Krishna made that choice. It's like a drama when, you know, when there is a drama, the film actors can at any point of time choose to quit. The drama is over. However, we are in a drama, that's true, but you know, we are forced to act. We cannot just leave. We have to suffer. We have to enjoy in this material world. We are subjected to the laws of this nature. So the mistake that people make is to think that Shri Krishna is an ordinary human being. Why? Because he appears like a human being. But actually what we do not understand, that Krishna does not appear like a human being, but we humans appear like gods. You know, this is a very revolutionary concept, which not many people understand. When Krishna says, Manushim tanum ashritaha, ajopisan avyayatma, bhutanam ishwaropisan, that when I appear as a human being, people mistake me to be a human being. But actually it is not like that. As it is said in the Bible, that God has fashioned man in his own image. He has made humans. When he created all the different species of life, the Lord was not satisfied. He wanted to create a species through which it would be most easy for the souls to attain the Supreme Lord. So therefore then he fashioned a human being who looks just like him, two hands, two feet, a head. If you see in all other species, it's different, you know. A caterpillar has so many feet, you know. But a human being was made in the image of the Lord, and therefore he's so similar to the Lord. And therefore when the Lord appears in his original form, it is very easy for him to relate with that form. And therefore, serving Shri Krishna in a human being, he can very easily attain the Lord. It's very difficult to identify with Kurma, with Varaha, the Lord's form as a boar, with the Lord's form as a turtle, the Lord's form as a horse. Very difficult to relate with animals, you see. So therefore, it is not God who has got a human-like form. It is we who has got a God-like form. Manushim tanum ashritaha. So therefore, not many people, even in India, they understand that Shri Krishna is God. And then what to speak of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being God, Sri Krishna? Even Indians find it difficult. Even probably some Bengalis in Bengal may know about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but most of Indians don't know about Mahaprabhu. What to speak of knowing that he is Krishna incarnate? It's very difficult. And therefore it is said in the scriptures, you have to look to the scriptures, you have to look to the Chaitanya Charitamrita to get to understand the science of Srimad Mahaprabhu. Who is he? And therefore it is said, if you're looking into the Pramans, looking into the scriptures, it is said, there is a conversation between Parvati and Lord Shiva, where Parvati is asking Shiva, that the whole world is worshipping you, but I see that you are sitting in meditation and you are worshipping somebody. You are meditating on somebody. Who is that you are worshipping? People consider Lord Shiva to be supreme, but it seems that you are meditating on someone. Who is that? And Lord Shiva says, Ram Rameti Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasranam Vistulyam Ram Nama Varanane. So Lord Shiva is saying, I am not supreme. I am chanting the name of Lord Ram. I am meditating on Lord Ram. I am the servant of Lord Ram. So Lord Shiva proclaimed that Lord Ram is supreme. In another verse it is explained, Sahasranam Nam Punyanam Trir avrittitu yatphalam eka avrittitu krishnasya naam ekam prechari. That if you chant Krishna once, you get the benefit of chanting Lord Ram's name three times. Sahasra naam naam punya naam trir avrittitu yatphalam. It means that if you chant the name of Lord Ram, then you get the benefit of chanting the 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. Vishnu sahasra naam. One Ram is equivalent to 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. And when you chant Krishna, then you get the benefit of chanting the name of Lord Ram three times. Tri ravrittitu yatphalam ekavrittitu krishnasya naam ekam prechadi. Then another verse which says in the Vedic literature that Krishna chaitanyeti nama mukhyam mukhya tamam prabhu sakrid eva uchcharya Sarva Nama Phalam Labhit. That if you simply chant the name Krishna Chaitanya, please everybody, Krishna Chaitanya, then what happens? Mukhya Mukhya Tamam Prabhu. You get the benefit of chanting all the primary names of Lord Shri Krishna. Sakradeva Uchcharya Sarva Nama Phalam Labhit. So Lord Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the name of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, this name is so powerful that it contains the benefit of chanting all other names of the Lord. He's a quintessence. He's a quintessence avatar of all other incarnations. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Guru Tvishe Namaha. Rupa Goswami explains that out of all the incarnations, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation. Why? Because he incarnated in the age of Kali Yuga, the most degraded age, and gave to those who are most fallen the highest treasure. Not just love of God, but even in love of God, he has given the Unnato Jvala Rasam, that conjugal love, which is very, very rare to attain in all the previous yugas. Anarpita charim chirat karunaya avatirnah kalau samarpayatam unnato jvala rasam bhakti shriyam harih purat sundara dyutikadamba sandipitah sadaridaye khandare spuratu vah sachinandanah sachinandanah. Acharya is explaining, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying, anarpita charim chirat, Sriman Mahaprabhu is what? That Supreme Lord Sri Krishna who has appeared to give anarpita, which has never been given before. So easy. And you don't have to look anywhere. You just have to look at ISKCON to see the miracle. Srila Prabhupada was once sitting somewhere and in a Western world and somewhere in, I think, in America, and a hippie comes to him and, not a hippie, sorry, a magician comes to him and, devotees had brought him to Prabhupada and he was performing a lot of magical tricks. And he put his hand into the, you know, into the pocket of Srila Prabhupada's kurta and he took out some articles and some magical tricks. So he asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, can you do such magical tricks? So Prabhupada looked at his disciples, shaven-headed brahmacharis, grihasthas, and he looked, this is my magic. This is my magic. Can you do this? Can you do this? You cannot. So therefore, this is a magic. The ultimate magic is if you can inspire devotion in somebody's heart. If you can inspire someone into serving the Supreme Lord, there is no higher magic than this. And therefore, that inspiration to serve the Lord in the mood of the gopis, anarpita charim chirat karunaya avatirnah kalau. Why did he do that? Out of his compassion. Simply out of compassion. There is no logic. Why did he do that? Simply out of his compassion. Karunaya avatirnah kalau samarpayatam unnato jularasam. Unnato jularasam. So bhakti shriya. He has come to give his own devotion. Devotion unto himself, Sri Krishna. Who else can give? No one else. So therefore that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a self-same, is the original God. But this astrologer is not able to understand that. He's not able to understand that. Now, you see in this world, again, I don't know, what time is it? I have to conclude. Right now I have to stop, yeah? Yeah, okay. So I was just kind of start beginning to give the introduction actually. So, but anyways. So there is a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining the reason why he contemplated taking sannyas. When Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he was thinking that when I have appeared, people are not understanding my glory. And people may even criticize me, thinking that I am doing something whimsical. So therefore, it is very important for people to know my glory, or at least stop disrespecting me. And therefore, I should take sannyas, because everybody in India understands that sannyas should not be disrespected. So therefore, he took sannyas. And then he gives a logic like Jarasandh. He gives the example of demons like Jarasandh, who are actually great devotees of Lord Vishnu. Now he was a demon, we know that he was a demon, but actually he was a very dutiful householder. He used to respect Brahmins. He was a very charitable grihastha. And as we know in Mahabharata, that Lord Sri Krishna, in order to kill him, he brings Arjun and Bhim. They come as disguise and they come to Jarasandha's palace and they come as Brahmins and they say to Jarasandha, we are Brahmins, please give us charity. Because Krishna knew that he was a very dutiful to the Brahmins. So he was a devotee of Lord Vishnu. He was a follower of Varanashram Dharma. Now we see in history that generally those who are devotees, like even Indra, he is a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Now he has committed great blunders. As we know, he came to Vrindavan and he created havoc for 7 days. He poured down rain and harassed the Brajbasis. You see, he did all those things, but Sri Krishna did not kill him. When he committed that great offense in Vrindavan to the Brajba, he was not killed because he's a devotee of Lord Krishna. But all devotees make mistakes, so Krishna forgives, no problem. But when it came to Jarasandha, who was also a devotee of Lord Vishnu, Lord Sri Krishna arranged to kill him. Why was he killed? Bhim killed him, as you know. Now, why was he killed? Because it is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Jarasandha did not accept Sri Krishna as a bona fide incarnation. He accepted Vishnu, but he did not think that Krishna is Vishnu when he appeared. And therefore, he was in constant enmity. He was having this animosity for Krishna. And he was making all these arrangements to kill him. He came along with, 18 times he came and attacked. So therefore, as a result of that, Lord Sri Krishna had to kill him. So therefore, if we accept Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, And Mahaprabhu is thinking, even if somebody in this world accepts Krishna as the Supreme Lord, but if they do not accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he probably may meet with the same fate as Jarasandh. He will not attain perfection. It is not possible to attain love of Radha and Krishna till you accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wholeheartedly as the Supreme Lord. And therefore, this Brahmin also could not understand, because it is explained that you cannot understand who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is till you attain the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Athapiti deva padam bhujadvaya prasada lesa anugrihit evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanyam ekopi chiram vichinvan. That you cannot understand the Supreme Lord without his grace. You need his mercy. Just as you cannot see the sun with a torchlight. In the middle of the night, if somebody says that I want to see the sun, you cannot go with a torchlight seeing where's the sun. No, the sun gives its own light. When the sun rises, then you will see the sun. You cannot use your own method. The sun reveals itself. Similarly, the Lord will reveal himself. He reserves the right to be known. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha. Just as, say, you imagine that you come to the temple, a devotee comes to the temple, or if a person, well-wisher comes to the temple. He didn't want to come, he was dragged by his friend or somebody, and he comes, and he's forgotten to wear his contact lenses, he's forgotten to bring his glasses. So he's coming here, and the altar opens. But because he doesn't have his contact lenses, he can't take the darshan of the Lord. Is it not? So then he decides, okay, I want to take darshan. So then he looks around and he finds somebody, his friend is also having a similar prescription as his. So he borrows it, he takes, wears the spectacles, and then he gets the darshan of the Lord. But now what if he wears the glasses, but the pujari comes and he closes the gate, closes the curtain. He's wearing his spectacles, but still now he cannot get the darshan of the Lord. Why? Because the darshan is closed. So similarly, there are two kinds of maya, two kinds of coverings due to which the living entities cannot know Krishna. One is the covering which we impose upon ourselves because of our laziness or because of our attachment to material things, that we take no interest in understanding the Supreme Lord. So when we borrow a prescription from someone, take on our spectacles and we see, it is like the guru giving us, it is the guru who is giving us that vision, the eyes to see the Lord. But even though we are prepared, we are qualified to see the Lord, we've got our spectacles, we are opened our eyes, we are enthusiastic, but still if the altar is closed, you will not get the darshan. Why? Because the Lord reserves the right. The Lord is not ready to give his darshan at that point of time. So therefore there is another covering. One which we cover ourselves and one which Krishna covers himself. And what is that covering? That covering is of yoga maya. So one is mahamaya which covers the living entity and another is yoga maya which the Lord covers himself with. Only when we uncover our eyes from Mahamaya, like, you know, we've got all these spectacles which we're wearing. Some are wearing green color lenses, some are wearing, like people when they go out, they wear these goggles. So similarly, there are different kinds of colored lenses which we all wear. And we see the world in different light. So also, these are all the coverings of Maya, which needs to be removed. And at the same time, there is another covering. When both these coverings are removed, then actually we can see the Lord. So therefore, the Lord's grace is very important. And only when we become very greedy to attain that Lord, when we do whatever is necessary to make ourselves qualified to the Lord, qualified to receive the grace of the Lord, can we actually see the Lord. It's nothing great in order, you know, when we say that we are devotees of the Lord, it's nothing great to say that, you know, we know the Lord, in as much as to say that, you know, we know the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. It's nothing so great. There are so many people who know the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. But what is really great is if the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom knows you. So therefore it is said you serve in such a way such that the Lord wants to see you. You don't deserve to see the Lord. Don't desire to see the Lord. Just serve in such a way such that the Lord wants to see you. Therefore, they said simply chanting does not constitute devotional service. We may think that chanting Hare Krishna is devotion. We may think reading Srimad Bhagavatam is devotion. We may think sitting in Srimad Bhagavatam class or Chaitanya Charitamrita class is means that we are in devotion. We may think that wearing the clothes of a devotee means that we are a devotee. No. This is not devotion. They are only devotional activities. Devotion is a sentiment. When we do these things, when we chant Hare Krishna with devotion, with the feeling, with the emotion, then that activity is actually devotion. Otherwise, it is not devotion. It is just an activity. We make a charity. And even people like may think, oh, wonderful, this person has given such a huge charity, such a huge donation. He must be such a great devotee. But who knows, behind giving the charity, we may have a certain ulterior motives. Who knows? People may think, you know, people may give a 10-pound donation and think that, oh Lord, please, let me get a profit in my business for 100 million pounds. Yeah. So it's not really devotion, it is business. When you give something to the Lord and you ask something from the Lord. So what looks like devotion may not be devotion. And the Lord understands that. And that's why the Lord is actually, you know, he's standing there. He's not reciprocating with us. Because the moment he reciprocates, immediately we'll come out with a list of what we want. You know, so we are hesitating. We are not offering him what we think is best. We should offer the best to the Lord. That is devotion. We offer the worst to the Lord many times. You know, in India especially, I don't know, in this country also. When things become old, a car has become old and it is very difficult to maintain it, then people come and leave it in the temple. They say, you please use it. When the shirt becomes small or when the jacket becomes old, and they say, okay, give it to the brahmacharis, maybe they can use it, something like that. But if there is real love for the Lord, then you will offer the best. Not the worst. Like if you see in the Bible also, Abraham was told by the Lord. Abraham was a very old man when he got a son. He didn't have a son. He prayed to the Lord. Lord said, okay, you'll have a son. But finally when he got the son, then the Lord said, you sacrifice him on the altar. Kill him. Offer him as a sacrifice to me. And Abraham offered. He made that sacrifice. So real devotion is that when you make that sacrifice and you're willing to give the best. You know, there's a story of this incident of this man who goes to the temple and there was a yajna performed, a puja aarti performed, and the plate comes outside. So all the devotees were making some donations on the aarti plate, as it's customary that when you attend the aarti, you should make some donation. So the aarti plate comes out and everybody is making some donations, 1 pound, 2 pounds, like that. So that devotee was sitting and he was thinking, should I make? So with great difficulty, he took out a pound and he put it on the plate. So behind him, there was a Mataji who tapped his shoulder and gave him 20 pounds. So he felt, wow, this Mataji is so inspiring. You know, I was struggling to make a 1 pound donation. This Mataji has given a 20 pound donation. So he takes the note and puts it on the thali, on the altar plate, aarti plate. Then after that, he goes and meets the Mataji and he says, Mataji, you're so inspiring, really. You know, I was hesitating to make that 1 pound donation and you made a 20 pound donation. I'm really inspired by your devotional service. So the lady says, well, I did not make any donation. When you pulled out that 1 pound from your pocket, that 20 pounds fell off. I was giving it to you. So he said, oh my God. So you see that many times it's very difficult to make that sacrifice. And when we actually do that sacrifice, and then the Lord becomes merciful on us and he reveals himself, that's what it takes to attain the Lord. Greed, intense greed. So that can be accomplished when we humbly serve the devotee communities without offenses and we chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.